Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
The Old Testament reading appointed for this, the fourth Sunday in Advent, is found in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house.' And David said to him, 'Your blood be on your head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed.' This is the word of the Lord." The epistle reading appointed for this day is from the book of Romans, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 25. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings have been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I ask that you please stand as we sing, as it is appointed there, the verse from Matthew 1:23. Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
This reading also serves as today's sermon text. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Around this time of year, there's a lot of blockbusters that hit the movie theaters, basically because they know that families are getting together, and this is an activity that a lot of families participate in, is going to the movies. Among those blockbusters this year, I think it came out either last week or this week, is Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. If you know anything of the Mission Impossible television series or the series of movies, you'll know that these missions that are impossible are conducted by special agents. Mr. Jim Phelps is the leading agent, and after he receives his assignment, he contacts other special agents in his organization to help him to successfully accomplish a mission that seems absolutely impossible. And of course, they're going to have no backup from the government or anybody from the law enforcement. They have to do this on their own. The first course of action that Mr. Phelps always does is he always gets together his special agents that will work with this particular assignment, the information that he receives from higher up. It's an initial meeting that they learn the facts about what the mission is, and then they put together a plan and then put that plan into action. I was wondering what the tape might sound like that Mr. Phelps would have listened to, or in this case, that Jesus would have listened to if God would have told him about his mission and what it would have sounded like. It might go something like this. "Good morning, Jesus Christ. A man and a woman, the crown of creation, fell prey to the temptation of Satan, an alleged fallen angel, who also goes by the aliases of devil, Lucifer, evil one, prince of the world, prince of darkness. Beware of his powerful persuasion. He will conjure up all his deathly power to tempt you away from your mission by putting you to the test. There will be a point where he will use all his cunning to convince you that he is in control over everything in this world. He will even offer you the privilege to bow down and worship him. He has found ways to influence governments, to embrace his principles, and his infiltration has caused great corruption, greed, and lured millions, even billions of people to follow him down into his future demise. Unfortunately, there is no government who has the political or military power strong enough to conquer and defeat this enemy of creation. Your mission, should you agree to undertake it, will be to save mankind from their three greatest enemies, sin, death, and this crafty villain, Satan. You will need to be prepared to lay down your very life to restore all the destruction that has been caused by this prince of darkness and save the lives of all mankind from eternal punishment and destruction. This mission you will have to accomplish single-handedly. There will also be 12 disciples assigned to you. However, due to the enormous danger and torture you may face, except even these faithful agents expect them to abandon you before this mission is accomplished. Your father will give you further instructions. He has the perfect plan to successfully and victoriously accomplish this mission. This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Even though I may have presented in a very modern, contemporary, parabolic kind of way Jesus' mission in this modern day world, there are a lot of people that believe that this is impossible. This is so far from the truth that they think that those who believe this are absolutely foolish. This is no science fiction. From a worldly point of view, this mission does seem ridiculously impossible, but everything about this mission is true. We are the players in this story. Mankind is on the brink of destruction, and we are all destined to die. All the people of the world throughout all time will be lost for eternity if the enemies of God are not stopped. This is true. The mission of this man, Jesus Christ, who is also God, is to save all mankind from sin, which has made us the very enemies of God, to rescue us from a devastating death, to rescue us from the evil one who has tempted us away from a life of peace with our Lord. This is God's mission for his son. This is God's mission for the one that he sent as a baby in Bethlehem. A mission by this world standard that seems absolutely impossible. The very beginning of the mission for Christ to save all mankind from eternal destruction had some pretty remarkable yet humble beginnings. An angel named Gabriel supernaturally comes to the Virgin Mary and tells her something that seems absolutely impossible. Again, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, if any of us here would have heard that message from the angel, we would have had the same response that Mary had. Mary already had it running through her head. That how in the world is this going to be possible? And so she asks, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God." If we were to have a hard time believing this part of the plan, this mission of God to make a virgin pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, then everything else that Jesus came into this world to accomplish would have to be impossible to believe as well. How can anyone today prove that this actually happened? We are vulnerable to doubt. By nature, we believe what we can only accept as true as those things that we can experience with our senses. If it doesn't make sense, we don't want to believe it. It's hard to believe when the impossible has been accomplished. That's been the argument of rational thinkers and skeptics down through the centuries. How many in the world just 300 years ago who lived on the face of this earth would ever believe that we could fly? That we could talk to each other through thin little boxes. That we could cook food using a thing called microwaves. That there's such a thing as electricity. Gas-powered carriages. Putting a man on the moon? Absolutely impossible. These are to those who lived in another time things that would have been absolutely impossible for humans to accomplish. So if the human brain created by God has helped man to accomplish these great things, then why is it so hard to believe that the one with unlimited power and intelligence who created all things can do the impossible? This mission of God to send His Holy Son into the world would be impossible to believe if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit living in our lives, bringing us this faith which holds on to all that God promised us in Christ Jesus. Through His work, we have come to believe God can do the impossible. Logan today was brought in to that faith that embraces all that this mission has accomplished for her and for each of us. And now we too have been sent out on a mission that by the world standard would also seem absolutely impossible. A mission that by the world standard would look foolish and ridiculous. Oh, there's been movies made about that too. The mission which comes from the one who accomplished the impossible, Jesus Christ our Lord, now commissions us in Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 2. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Did you know that you've already just witnessed again today God's mission being accomplished again? Here when the waters of baptism poured over Logan's head, this very commission that Christ has given us has been fulfilled once again through the baptism of Logan. Logan, too, has been commissioned through faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to now go also into the world with this saving message. Of course, it'll be a number of years before she's able to follow that commission with her verbal sharing of the faith. But nevertheless, she's now among us who have been given this mission by our Savior to save this, share this good news with the world. But have we truly been assigned to a mission impossible? Can we collectively be witnesses here in Fergus Falls, Otter Tail County, Minnesota, United States, the ends of the earth? Sure we can. Through the same work that caused that virgin to have a baby, the work of the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts and working in our lives. We can and we do work through that same power with missions, human care, door-to-door evangelism, radio and television ministries, and there's so many more other ways that God has blessed us to follow that mission. Not impossible. But what about individually? How are each of us doing with this mission individually? Does it seem impossible to share the word of God with people so that they might be rescued from eternal destruction? God promises us in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And again in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Mission impossible? Nothing is impossible with God. Jesus came into this world with the mission of destroying our three greatest enemies, sin, death, and the devil. And His victory over death and the grave has now become our victory. Everything that this baby from Bethlehem grew up to accomplish has now changed the course of all who believe in Him. Because of Jesus' redemptive work, God's mission for our future is and will be accomplished. By God's grace through faith, we are confident that when we die, our souls will go to be with him, and that at the last day he will raise these very bodies from the dead and clothe them with immortality, to be united with our soul, to enjoy peace and harmony with our Lord and Savior forever. Mission impossible? Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.